views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Let's talk about your juicy love with me, Una Drake. We explore relationships, dating, sacred union, communication, conscious love, healthy boundaries, and much more. As a dating and relationship coach for over 5 years, with a background in shamanic healing and metaphysical work, I've helped men and women, young and old, from all walks of life. My mission is to increase peace, joy, and love on planet Earth. So listen in and stay juicy.
All right. Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us today. Of course, it's me, Una Drake, and I'm joined today with Marla Mattinson. And we're going to be having an awesome conversation about male-female polarity and what that means. Obviously, male-female polarity has been the way that we've understood relationships for literally thousands of years. But is it relevant in today's landscape? How do we use it? What are the pros and cons? Marla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are a relationship coach for, in particular, entrepreneur couples. So you work with couples of all types. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work?
Sure. So I've been working with entrepreneurs for many years. I have been an entrepreneur for many years. And my work started many, many years ago, 23 years ago, actually, working with couples, helping them through labor and delivery of their babies and postpartum. And that naturally led to coaching. And then that naturally led to working with entrepreneurs because I grew up in an entrepreneur family. And so I've witnessed thousands and thousands of couples transforming over the years. And I've witnessed working with gay couples, straight couples, poly couples, all different types of couples out in the world who have their own definition of what masculine, feminine, male, female relationships are. Because the truth is, we don't really talk about this very much, but there is a whole gender spectrum. It's not just binary. It's not just masculine, feminine, and either I'm in my feminine energy or I'm in my masculine energy. It's just not like that anymore. We have to understand on a new level that inside of every human is the entire gender spectrum. And when you understand that when you're in a partnership with someone else, that their relationship with themselves in that gender spectrum is going to impact your relationship with yourself. And so together, that along at any given point during the day, I could be more in sort of a masculine kind of energy if I'm more assertive and I'm getting things done and I'm in my logic brain, right? Versus maybe I'm relaxing and I'm really just in my spacious creative energy, getting into that flow state. And then the dynamic that happens when partners get together and where are you at in your gender spectrum? Where's your partner at? And is that going to be cohesive or is that going to be explosive or something in between?
That's awesome. Yeah, I love how you talk about that. I also see gender as a spectrum, and I think some of us naturally gravitate to one end of it or the other, but we all have access to any place on it that we want to, correct?
Yeah.
Basically. So how do you, first of all, what are some difficulties that you see that couples run into in their relationships, in their communications, or what do you see with your clients?
Well, so my background is it's a little different than the traditional psychology background. I am a mathematician and a neuroscientist. And so my training is very scientific. It's very logical. And yet my experience is very more abstract and more like your shamanic background. I have a very deep background in the healing arts and in the unseen world and calling into manifestation what you really desire. And so that's not just for things in the world, right? Material possessions, as you know. It's also for What do I want to create for myself internally? How do I want to feel every day? How do I want to feel in partnership? And so the biggest issue that we see, because I work with my love life and business partner, Julian Kolker, we work together with all of our couples. The biggest issue, like you said, you nailed it already, is communication. But what does that mean? That means how we communicate in words, that what we're actually articulating out our mouth is only one piece of the puzzle, right? We're also talking about how we communicate in the unseen world and in the world of your facial expressions and your physical body. You know, if I come to my relationship with my arms crossed and my brow furrowed, right, then that sends a certain message to my partner. Even, and this happens for me often, is my tone of voice. My tone of voice can be a little harsh. It can be a little intense. And when I say a little, I mean a lot. And so it can be an issue if he is in a space where he's more in his creative realm. He's our chief creative officer in the business. And so he needs a lot of space for creativity and channeling that energy in. And so if I come at him with more of a harsh tone, then that's me more in a masculine energy. And if he's more in a feminine space, then we could have a great conversation or access to something deeper in our relationship, or it could go the other direction, right? So having that communication be the primary goal in any relationship, I think is very, very important. Like, how do you want me to communicate with you when I need something? How do you want me to communicate with you when I'm not happy with something that you're doing? And having a conversation about that outside of the activation phase, right? So you can't tell somebody how you want to be treated while you're activated, right? You can only do it outside of the activation. So that's pre-planning in advance how you want to be addressed and how you want to communicate.
And what comes to mind for me there is that I think people need to know themselves pretty well in order to even know how they can best be communicated with. So how do you help people through that process? And also, I mean, since we're talking about, I do want to keep the conversation somewhat, at least, you know, and I want to keep it on the male-female polarity. So do you find that people who are born in a, you know, female body versus a male body have different kind of base ways or like basic fundamental ways that it's best to communicate? Or is there, that's still a spectrum, I'm sure, but what do you have? Are there generalities that you see across the board, or what can you say about that?
Yes, thank you. And I love bringing the conversation right back to that polarity issue. So we specialize in working with entrepreneur couples. And so in general, females, women who are entrepreneurs definitely have to get their assertive skin on. They have to get into more of that masculine energy to actually create and run a business. Now, having said that, they also need to have that balance of self-care and taking care of their team in a way that's not aggressive, right? In a way that's nurturing and nourishing. So any female entrepreneur is going to need to have that whole spectrum inside of themselves just to run the business. And being able to delegate is actually a balance of the feminine and masculine energies, because to delegate appropriately, you have to have that structure of the logic brain, the part that's a bit of more the masculine structure, as well as that sort of nourishing energy of not just demanding of your people, but actually encouraging them to, you know, have their mastery come out in their position. So for female entrepreneurs, it's, you know, it's kind of a man's world out there still. And so we're trying to get out there and make things happen. And if you talk to any entrepreneur, personal relationships is the primary selling point. So what do I mean by that? You have to go out there and be seen, have experiences with people, go to speak at events, go be seen at events. And when you bring that balance of, and when I say balance, I don't mean that you're gender neutral. I'm saying that you bring the entire spectrum with you where people can feel, oh, this woman's got heart. She really cares about what she's talking about, what she's putting out into the world, as well as she can handle the structure of this business at the same time. So
that would engender trust, I'm guessing, if they sense that competency on the different levels or the different areas of that overall spectrum that you're talking about. Not only does she have the nurturing or kind of softer skills, but also that she can be in structure or can be firm or can hold her ground when she needs to.
Exactly. Exactly. And then one of the things just for a relationship that we talk about that we also practice in our lives is when we're activated. So the old word is being triggered, right? And triggered is has a very negative connotation. When you're activated, it could be for positive or negative. We don't know, right? So when we're activated, meaning something has catalyzed inside of us, when we're activated in relationship, here's what needs to happen. You need to actually put more of your masculine sharing with your words. So we call it feminine talk versus masculine talk. Feminine looks like this. Gosh, it's cold in here. That's feminine speak, right? Which is, okay, my partner has no idea what to do. They like, should he give me a blanket? Should he turn the heat up? Should he close the window? Like, what is he supposed to do? And if we leave it to the guessing game where he doesn't know what I'm asking him to do, then he's going to give up at some point, because if he can never please me by trying something, but I don't really want that, it's going to be an issue. So the masculine version is, gosh, it's really cold in here. Can you hand me a blanket, sweetheart? A question, a direct question that he can actually say yes or no to, that he can say, oh, that's right. She wants this. I know how to be successful, right? Because it's on some level less about masculine, feminine energy and that polarity. And it's more about how are you getting your needs met in relationship? Are you being specific? This is where any person in a relationship needs to practice more of the masculine language, which is clarity with your words, direct questions that your partner can actually say yes or no to, and then being willing to hear a yes or a no. That's the third piece that most people miss, right? Just because I ask a question that seems obvious he should say yes to doesn't actually mean that he should, because if he's actually feeling into what's true for him, then he can actually tell me what's true for him. And I may be momentarily hurt by a no, but really on the inside, I can feel, oh my gosh, my partner has the courage to tell me the real truth, to tell me no. And so I can feel that with my feminine, with my softness, and then accept it and love that about him with my more masculine energy of like, I'm so grateful you're telling me this.
Right, right. Because both partners have to have their own boundaries and what's okay for them and what's not. So, and there has to be respect, mutual respect back and forth. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So, what types of things do you see male clients? You've talked about, you know, female entrepreneurs and how they can access different parts of the spectrum and different parts of their life and their business. What about for males?
Yes. So male entrepreneurs, we'll just stick with that for the moment here. It's a nice subset of the population. Male entrepreneurs are actually being called to activate more of their feminine in their businesses. They're being called to be more relatable. They're being called to soften and make sure they're nourishing. So Julian and I are in a mastermind with a number of very successful high-level entrepreneurs. And one man in particular has this incredible business. He's based in Mexico, and he has this wonderful business with his wife. And he realized a few months ago that self-care was missing from his routine, that he did it a little bit, but didn't make it a priority. And so our men these days are being called more and more to nourish themselves. And if they have some sort of a judgment or opinion about what it means to be in their feminine energy, to what it means to claim more of their feminine energy, they're going to suffer and not be able to give them that nourishing time of self-care. So we need to give our men the full permission to say self-care is key. And then when they do that, right, I love your smile right now, right? Because when they start doing that, it models for our women, hey, don't get skewed in the masculine either. Then we start creating for our couples self-care together. And that is one of the most beautiful things that we see is when a couple comes together and they get to practice their self-care together.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm smiling so much because I see that women in particular, at least in you could say Western society by and large, for the last 40, 50, even 60 years or more, have, I think, been able to integrate some of the masculine and you know, through, you could say, women's lib or, you know, women, the women's movement, basically, to break out of the traditional stereotypical gender roles. Any woman in the Western world, I think, today has greater access to more of her masculine energy than she did, say, 100 years ago, or, you know, let alone 2,000 years ago or more. You know, as a spectrum of like society, you know, but I think for men, it's just, I mean, there is a men's movement, obviously. And I think that men, the conversation is just catching up now to the work that women have done, I think, for a number of decades already. Does that make sense?
It does. I agree. And the truth is, I think there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of confusion with, well, now with the Me Too movement and how do men communicate with women? How do women communicate with men? It's very uncertain out there these days. Then there's this whole other conversation that's not being addressed really, which is non-gender specific people, people who don't relate to the binary situation we have here in our Western culture, which is you're either male or female. That is not even true, right? And it hasn't been true for, you know, hundreds of years that we really understand that there's this entire spectrum of gender walking around out in the world and creating amazing things out in the world as well. So, and each non-gender specific person still has the full gender spectrum inside of them, right? It's not just the physicality of what we are and what we're born with. It's the inside. It's the fact that we are all human and we have the human experience to relate to together. So we have to come together. This is part of the conversation of why you're having this now, which I'm excited to hear your next guest also, because we want to have more clarity together. We want to have everyone joining this conversation of this, how do we have this polarity where we use it to our advantage. And so I just want to talk about that for a moment.
That would be fabulous. Yeah.
That's great. How do we use the gender polarity for our advantage, right? So if I'm a woman, which I am, and I have, let's say I have a lot of masculine energy that comes forth in my business. Well, at different times during the day, I will be more in my feminine than in the masculine. And then sometimes I'll be totally balanced in the middle where I won't be experiencing any masculine or feminine. I'll be experiencing more of the oneness with the animals, the plants, all people around me. And so I'll just be feeling the whole gender spectrum together, right? So how do I use it to my advantage? Well, if I know that I'm more of a, and this comes to what you said in the beginning, which is you have to kind of know yourself. Right. So if I know that people see me as more of a masculine energy in the world in my business, then at key times when I'm trying to relate to people, I want to bring forth more of my feminine energy. I want to literally sit back in my chair. I want to take deep breaths and connect internally with myself. I want to ask questions that are more in line with the female audience that is going to get them to feel more connected with me. And so maybe I'll do more listening than talking, right? So I'm being more of the receiver than the giver. And so playing with those roles inside of myself is very, very helpful. And then in relationship, so I have a partner who's super alpha. He is what, like an amazing, like probably, in my opinion, one of the best versions of a traditional alpha man, which is he's totally balanced in his soft feminine energy also. He's very, very balanced. And so he can take control and he can also let me lead. And so because we both have strong masculine and feminine energies, we can play with the boundaries of that polarizing energy. So when he gets into his very big alpha in the relationship, I willingly go into surrender. And that surrender creates sexual energy. It creates passion. It creates a sense of, oh my God, I can rest and surrender into this man because I know that he's stepped up in his full alpha, right? And we have the trust built in that in his alpha, he would never hurt or harm me. And so that agreement that we have, that when he's in his full alpha, that I can fully surrender, I know I'm safe. And then the other way around, for me to play around with me being in the full alpha, me taking the lead, me planning something, right, where he can surrender into me. And that kind of a balance is not talked about as often, right? Because does that make sense to you?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. And what's coming to mind for me from like a more like global perspective is that like in truth, it's unity. You know, I think, you know, as a species consciousness, we're moving into like a more unity consciousness. And that's, I think, where we're even having the conversation that of gender as being a spectrum versus, you know, a duality. However, there's when you have like a polarity, when you have a duality that can play off of each other, you know? So, but I like what you're saying, that we can access that anytime, that we can play with that within ourselves and our own, whatever we're doing individually, but we can also play with that in relationship.
Exactly. The unity conversation is both magnificent and dangerous. And the reason it's dangerous is because when we get into the spiritual woo-woo on the sort of negative side, we think, oh, we are all one and I am gender neutral and my partner is gender neutral. And the issue there is then there's no explosion. There's no passion. There's no sense of you're different than me. Like the truth is, I don't want to be with me. I don't want to be with somebody who's just like me. That would be so annoying.
Right.
I want somebody who's different than me. Where, you know, we have moments where we're very similar, but the creativity that you bring up, the fluid conversation about how can I be creative with how I'm showing up in my relationship? Because what happens is we get bored. We get lumped into a category. Oh, my partner's like this. I already know how he's going to show up. Oh, I already know how she's going to show up. Well, guess what? You don't. What if you don't? What if creativity and, you know, is a choice where you get to see your partner with fresh eyes? We have something that we call the amnesia plan in our work together, which is if you close your eyes and you open them again, you see your partner as if you've never seen them before. You have amnesia. Who is this person? What do I like about them? What does their body look like? How can I totally love and enjoy their body as if I've never seen it before? How can I kiss them like I've never kissed them before? How can I get really playfully curious about who this amazing being is in front of me? So that sense of creativity and using the polarity of like, if he's super in his masculine, if I go into my deep feminine and I just kind of like move around him and enjoy him, he's going to feel more turned on, right? And I'm going to then feel more turned on. If he brings his masculine energy and I bring my masculine energy, then we're probably going to have a business conversation, right? We're probably going to go down a logistics conversation. Someone needs to choose the surrendered position, and it's not always the woman.
Fantastic. That's great information for people to play with. And I see that we just have a few more minutes in our conversation together. If people aren't used to playing with their own, you know, accessing their own masculine or their own femininity or choosing where they show up on that spectrum, what tips do you have to give people to learn to be more fluid in playing with that themselves?
I love that question. I love that question. We are very action-based coaches, so I love this. So the easiest way, I think, is to look at how you naturally show up in your life. Okay, so this is an observer hat. Just put your observer hat on for one day. a day in the life of you. And you put your observer hat on, you have your, you know, you can be a sleuth. You can literally be, you know, writing down what you notice. Notice how you show up when you go to the coffee shop. Do you talk to the barista behind the counter? Do you talk to anybody in line? Or are you more reserved where you don't talk to anybody and you're kind of hiding out? Our vision is observe on day one, and day two, make new choices. Try something out of your comfort zone. If you're normally the one who doesn't say anything, start talking to people. If you're someone who normally talks to people, then go into more of an observer and notice who wants to talk to you, where you're not always the one reaching out and activating a conversation. You know, just look around and feel into who wants to talk to you. So basically day one, observe yourself in your whole life. How do you normally show up? And day two, choose something different. Like if you're on in Facebook groups and you never interact and you never communicate or you never like anything because you're an observer, you just want to observe, go in there and start interacting with people. Go in there and start liking things, comment, send people private messages, do something different because you'll activate that other side of the spectrum.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. That's great. And then just, and then just observe, see what comes up. How do you feel? What responses do you get? Do you like them or not? It's just a process of learning. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Thank you. So if people want to learn more about you and get a hold of you, MarlaMattinson.com, correct? And also on Facebook, they can just search for your name, correct? And, find your Facebook page.
Yes, yes. If anybody has any questions or they want to continue this conversation, definitely comment below on this Facebook page. And if you have anything you'd like to ask me personally about your life or business, intimacy, relationships, please feel free to send a private message. I'm happy to chat.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with me today. I really love this conversation and just really appreciate your wisdom and your time. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. MarlaMattinson.com. Guys, go check her out. Thank you so much, Marla.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's shalohaproductions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
All right, and we're back. I'm Una Drake, and I'm talking in this half hour with Christopher Hoffman. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Una.
So Christopher is the author of Heart in Gear, and you're an engineer, an inventor, by all accounts, a very masculine man but you've had your own adventures and your own learning in the areas of love and relationships. And I really look forward to hearing from you and learning more about you and your story and what you have to say about this issue of polarity, male-female polarity in relationships. So again, thank you for being with us today. And I'd love to, if you could just start us out by just saying a few words about your own background and why you're interested in this conversation.
Yeah, I spent 15 years in the auto industry designing machinery and then 12 years in consumer products development and Skunk Works research and development labs. And then I started this one-wheeled motorcycle company, which turned into this like mega geek fest. I mean, like 20 million views. I've been on the Today Show as an innovator, TED Talks, Discovery Channel. So there's this whole arc of like being this masculine creator, innovator type of person. But what happened was I left my marriage about 8 years ago, just frustrated that like I'm just stuck in this place where I'm all up my head and I'm always trying to intellectualize my way out of things. And I started going to dance and snuggle parties and, you know, just trying to find something about myself that resonated more clearly with what I thought I really was. And through those experiences, I had these encounters with women who taught me so much, you know, about myself. And these are great stories that men really need to know. So I wrote this book and embodied these stories in this book in a way where men would actually read these stories and come away with something meaningful.
That's so awesome. Yes. And I've heard a few of them and they're just really fascinating. You know, thank you so much for having the courage and the vulnerability to share about, you know, experiences that are so personal to you. I think it's really, really important. And, you know, just thank you for doing that. So you're obviously a very much a man, you know, and very, you know, very much developed your, you could say, left brain, you know, your masculine qualities. What did you learn through these processes? Do you think that you were able to access more of we could call it the feminine or, you know, more of your intuition or more of your kind of, you could say softer side, or how would you express that? How would you express that process? Do you feel that you are a more whole person today, having gone through those experiences, than you were in the beginning?
No, totally. So I consider myself an innovation anarchist. And so my goal is to, you know, wake men up so they can be better innovators and help create a culture that allows us all to thrive together. And the story that I tell that kind of encapsulates that the vision is the story of the bowerbird. So the bowerbird is this ugly little bird in New Guinea who has no peacocking feathers. And it builds its above-ground nest, this little bower out of sticks and twigs, and then ornaments it with, like, all-purple flower petals or bottle caps, and it's this erotic display to females. And the research is the young bowerbirds maybe, you know, hook up once a season, but the older bowerbirds are killing it. So how in a lifetime did this little bird figure out how to make an erotic display that resonates with the feminine? So I think that's fascinating. So I apply that to Malcolm Sayer, the designer of the Jaguar XKE, gorgeous sports car.
Yeah.
He, you know, he had to feel something in his body. What did he feel in his body to be able to translate that into sheet metal? You know, he was an aircraft engineer, so you don't just make stuff shiny. You have to feel something in your body that's your true self. And so what it was that's his own personal power.
Wow.
Malcolm's personal bower, and it represents a very unique expression of his own personal life experience in Chicago.
Right, right. And so, so do you help men with that as well? Or like what? So let's translate this to something a little bit more, you know, personal to your life and or, you know, what you suggest for other men. I mean, as I think that's brilliant.
My platform is, as an innovator, is my one-wheel motorcycle company. So I've got this, like, Skagway motorcycle thing, and then I'm also doing an electric jet ski, hydrofoil. So my platform is innovation. I build lifestyle products to inspire a bright future. But from that place, my big vision is I want to transform our culture into this unified way of building a culture that allows us all to thrive. And the way I do that is I talk about a very succinct concept. And that concept has to do with what I do, how it affected you, and why I do that shit.
Okay.
And then, so hold on to that thought. How I distill that even further is if you go back all the way in human history to where, you know, humans are evolving away from primates, and there's this period where the stone tools get really good, and there's this mastery, you know, of our hands. And then there's this still a latent, you know, what is that motion? Is that motion of that animal a threat or is it food, right? So there's this natural predator, you know, monkey, gorilla, you know, violence going on. But I believe it was feminine that stood up and said, but what's the motivation?
Ah.
Of that motion. Why is that thing doing what it's doing?
Okay.
So if you put why together with mastery, you have art and dance and culture and story and myth.
That is so fascinating. That is a really unique way of articulating masculine versus feminine.
Right.
So the mask, and I just want to say this again so I can make sure that I'm understanding it correctly. Right. That the masculine is the action and the feminine is the why or the reasoning behind the action, the motivation.
Totally. So in our patriarchy is comprised of a lot of what and how from a place of guerrilla violence. And we've excluded females from the workforce because we don't want to be judged and challenged on what and how. Do is rewild the why into our culture.
Very interesting. Okay. So, well, I guess I'm not trying to be totally argumentative here, but I just want to bring up, I think the what seems to me like the why for many, many years was provided by, say, like religion, you know? You could say, at least for some things, or religion, philosophy, but or just because people, I don't know. What do you say to that? Or I mean, I'm also going to say, like, for why? I mean, it'd just be to get stuff, you know. I mean, to get what you want. I mean, for people.
Well, yeah. So to further explain the what and how from, like, you know, guerrilla aggression, and then the why is really the mother protector. And these are stories I'm using, you know, to illustrate a point.
Okay.
But I'm more interested in, like, describing mechanisms in our human psyche instead of trying to memorize a bunch of, like, oh, male polarity looks like this. And if you follow these rules, you get to be in my club.
Okay.
And that's what kind of pisses me off about the cheese woo that we're all shopping around. Like, it sounds really good, but it doesn't stack up to anything. There's nothing I can implement in that.
Uh-huh.
So the why part, I create from my feminine. I'm clearly checking in on why am I building this thing all the time. I'm looking at my design constraints, and I'm trying to, like, have these all these 10 things and design something that fits in there. And I don't know what it is yet. But I'm fascinated by the fact that something will unfold in that space. And I hold to the design constraints. And I'm very much in my intuition and my feminine and my resonator and my peace and my self-care and all that. But when it comes time to actually implement, I have to hand it over the wall to my masculine to implement it. And now, like, I put on my suit and I'm in my ego and I go out and I bushwhack. But when I come home, I take my suit off and my ego off and I sit back into my curiosity.
Okay, fascinating. Yeah. And do you ever have, I know Marla was talking about being able to kind of choose, like, where you, you know, what you're accessing on the spectrum of male-female polarity and having a, you know, conscious choice in choosing what you access. And it sounds like you're talking about essentially the same thing, like being able to access different parts of yourself to use them at different times. How do you do that? Or do you ever have trouble, you know, being more in your masculine or your feminine, or, you know, if you were going to try to guide someone through learning to have greater access to those different parts of themselves, what would you tell them to do?
Great question. So first of all, in relationship to other people, the thing that I make clear first is, who am I dealing with? And what kind of relationship is this? Is this a true transformational relationship? Or is this a relationship where we're both wounded and we're telling each other these beautiful stories and we're reiterating the same story and putting concrete around? That I'm not interested in anymore. But in a transformational relationship, the way you have that conversation is this what and how and why dialogue. So if I'm talking to somebody about something that happened that I initiated, I focus on what I did and how it affected the other person, and I never talk about why. And I encourage my partner to never challenge me on why in this conversation, because then I don't have to defend myself. I can be completely in my curiosity and, like, please tell me the experience you had with the thing I did so I can feel it in my body. And that's all she wants you to do. She just wants you to sit down on the couch next to her, look at the same horizon she's looking at, and can you feel the effect that that had on me? Because if you can feel what I'm feeling, you will learn from the experience, and I won't have to poke at you and micromanage you to get you to do something different.
Fascinating. Yeah. And I
all
love...
Wants. Because what in the growth relationship, what I signed up for is I want a woman who's almost like a version of my future self. Like, I choose a woman, like, I want to move in a direction. Well, I'm looking for a woman that, like, already kind of has that figured out, and I want to let her be the reflector of who I am. I want to, like, enact myself and open myself to the influence of the feminine and listen to the effect I'm having on her as a stand-in for the outside world.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And would she be doing something similar, like, with you, but, like, kind of a mirror of that? Or how would that?
It's simply, I'll give you an example. And this is not gender specific.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, let's say, okay, so in a relationship, I count on my partner to be my why. Like, you know, I'm single right now, but in my ideal relationship, I'm counting on you to be my why. So what I'm going to do is, like, hey, listen, I'm thinking about going to the office tomorrow. I'm going to have a talk with my boss. And this is my train of thought. Like, what do you think? And she's like, remember that thing 6 weeks ago when you said to your boss and you kind of reacted that way? I don't know if you said, if you say what you're going to say, that might be a problem. Like, shit, you know, like, I never thought about it that way. Thank you, you know, for reminding me and keeping track, you know, of the feeling state of the what and the how I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So I am consistently using my partner's resource to help me stay, to help me reevaluate my motivations. Because we have all these unconscious, hidden, like, motivations on why we do shit.
Right.
And your partner can say, can I just draw attention to the fact that, you know, you flirt with women, you know, and it's not the flirting that you do, but I'm just not sure if you're conscious of your need to be validated by women. You know, and if you're not conscious of it, all you're doing is showing people how to feed you candy. And the fact that you are unconscious of it, people figure out how to feed you candy and lead you off in some other direction. And that's what scares me. Your flirting doesn't scare me. It's your unconscious relationship to it that makes me feel uncontained.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Okay. Fascinating. All right. And you would call that the kind of the feminine, basically, like the feminine polarity.
Yeah. She's, and it can switch, you know, like say we're at a cocktail party. She just launched a book. We're at this cocktail party. She's trying to find a publisher. I'm with her in my why. And she's trying to figure out who to hook up with, where's the power is, and all this other stuff. And I'm standing next to her listening to these conversations and evaluating the dude based on kind of his subtle signaling on, does he really have access to that? Or does he really, is that bullshit? You know, I'm tracking all of the feeling state because she can stay in her masculine and stay in her like what and how and get her shit done. And we get back to the car. She's going, what'd you think about the guy in the plaid suit? Like, oh, that guy's a total poser. Yeah, I picked up that too, you know, like, and then what about the guy in the green shirt? Like, I kind of like that guy. Remember the way he was nice to his wife? I think that guy's legit.
Uh-huh. You know,
so we're in this working relationship where we're helping each other be successful.
Okay. Right. By each of you having access to the full spectrum of what it is to be human.
Right. Exactly. Common human decency pretty much covers everything.
Sure. Okay, fascinating. And I love how you talked about like a growth relationship or like a transformational relationship as opposed to a relationship. What did you say?
As opposed to a reiteration relationship.
Yeah, a relationship. I like how you put it that, you know, where things stay the same and you pour concrete around it, you know, right. Basically a relationship that depends on things staying the same. Right. But in reality, we grow all the time. There, you know, change is a part of life and it's a part of being alive. And so if we can't grow in our relationships, then the relationships are inevitably going to stagnate.
Exactly. And that's where control comes in. Like I am so sensitive to when I'm trying to control a situation, you know, because I mean, we're all tricksters and magicians and we all know how to get what we want and we can bamboozle people. And if they're going and they just like, let us walk around them all the time. And like, you totally let me walk around you. I'm really not interested in continuing this, you know? So there's all this stuff, you know, going on that it's real control. Like for example, there's a famous men's coach going around right now. And he's got this line where like, well, if the feminine is struggling with expressing herself and she can't get there, then I will create this container, you know, to help her get there.
Okay.
Like, that's total bullshit. That's like, a woman doesn't need you to create a container for her to get clear on what she's trying to say to you. The reason it feels emotional is because you're up in your head and you're not allowing her to penetrate through your freaking ego to allow you to feel her experience.
Interesting.
So, you know, like, it's like the same thing, like, oh, well, I'm a little defensive. I'm trying to like, no, it wasn't that big a deal, babe. You know, like all that. She will come after you with her why, because she's really good at it, and destroy you on why you do that shit until you're like, a emotional wreck. But at least you're in your feelings.
Okay.
In her feelings. And that's not gender specific either. Like, if I'm in a conflict with somebody, I've had arguments with my COO. Like, dude, like, what the heck was all that? Like, oh, well, it was because that other guy did this thing. He says, no, it's because you didn't make a choice 2 weeks ago. God, you know, and I said, why do you get so angry at me? It's because if you're not owning your experience, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you scare me.
Right.
And I don't want to hear if I feel scared by your inability to see the next thing coming because you didn't learn from this one.
Right. Because then there's a trust breakdown too. So, right. Yeah. So, that's awesome. And I think one of the things that I see you doing really, really well is being vulnerable and being able to be in your own vulnerability. And that's something that men and women need, I think, more access to. I mean, it's scary. Vulnerability is very, very scary. And it's a big topic. But what advice do you have for people to be less scared of it or to be scared and go for it anyway? Because that's something that I see that you've done really well is access your own vulnerability and be able to still express. I'd love to hear what you have to say around that.
All right. So I'll tell two quick stories. And this has to do with, if we speak from our own experience, nobody can ever challenge us. You know, if I say this is what's happening to me, like, as opposed to this is what I need you to do. But so I tell the story about coffee. So if I meet a woman and I say, hey, you want to buy me a coffee? Or I can say, hey, I really like your deal. Can I buy you a coffee and really understand more about you? Right? Which one's more vulnerable?
Well, buy me a coffee, I think, is, well, I think that's more vulnerable because she could definitely, it's much easier to turn down. But I don't know. What do you say is more vulnerable?
The second one.
Okay.
And the reason is this is why I translated into leadership. So leadership, vulnerability to me translates to leadership. So by me saying, you want to buy me a coffee, the next thing that she has to do is buy me a coffee and sit down and listen to me talk. Right?
Oh.
It's controlling.
Oh, okay. All right.
Put me in a position where she says no, then, oh, great. Well, she doesn't want to buy me a coffee. But the second one is an unattached offer. The other one is like, I don't care if you buy me a coffee. I don't care about anything in the world other than the fact that I like your vibe, which already says something about my experience. You can't argue with me about the fact that I like your vibe. It's not like your hair's great, you know. And then it's like, I would like to buy you a coffee and understand more about you.
Uh-huh.
So the next thing that happens is all she has to do is step into the structure that I created.
Uh-huh.
Sit down, receive my coffee, and get a chance to explain herself, which means I'm in my curiosity.
Sure. But how is that vulnerable for you, though? I guess.
I know. You could laugh at me. She goes, like, what do you mean I'm, like, attractive? Like, who the fuck are you? You're this ugly toad, you know?
Okay. All right. Sometimes this takes me a while, or I'm just, like, trying to understand it from your perspective. So, all right.
Yeah. So it's an, my advice is think about unattached offers. And this is peacocking. Peacocking is an unattached offer. Like, hey, look at all this. Look at the way I'm moving it around. Look at it. Can you feel my resonance? You know, like, does this resonate with you? And if it's a no, I don't care.
Right. But you're putting yourself out there. You're risking putting yourself on display.
Totally.
And, or saying what you want, asking for what you want.
Totally.
And, yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right.
Second story. I want to real quick is I tell the story about another date example. So I'm on a date with this woman and she's just going off about gardening and she's like loves gardening. Her whole thing is gardening. And I'm like letting it run. And she finally gets to the point where she says, well, what's your thing? And I'll say, like, well, you know, I really respect your passion for gardening. My mom was totally into gardening, but I'm into monster trucks.
Okay.
So like, I mean, the date could end right there.
Uh-huh. So we just have a couple more minutes.
All right, I'll wrap it up real quick. So he could end right there. Instead of him reflecting her and saying, I will do anything, which would kind of scare her, he's saying who he is. So she says yes to like, well, let's drive up into the mountains and look for this fern I've been looking for. He gets to be in his full expression of who he is.
Okay. Okay.
So I named it. I named who I am, and it could be a no right now. But if it's a yes, I get to play big and loud.
Right, right. And you're automatically then going to be attracting people who are saying yes to who you really are, instead of hiding that so that you supposedly might appeal to more people, but it's not the real you.
Totally.
So, okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with me today and having this conversation. And if people want to know more about you, they can go to heartingear.com and they can buy your book. It's on Amazon, correct?
Yeah, it's getting rave reviews. I mean, pages and pages. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I know that people can learn a lot from you and your story and what you have to share. So thank you again. I really appreciate you being with me and extending this conversation. So thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. So that was our conversations about polarity, male-female polarity in relationships. I hope that you, the listener, enjoyed this conversation. And email me, una@unadrake.com. You can go to my website, check out more about me. But also, I'd love to hear anything that you have to say questions that you have about this conversation, anything that you learned, anything that sparked with you. If you are a listener, you're hearing this and ideas come up, anything that you learned, I'd love to hear your thoughts and hear what you have to say. Thank you so much for being with us and have a great week.
You've been listening to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake. Tune in each month as Dr. Pat and I co-host together, creating juicy conversations, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. I interview amazing guests, and you'll learn how to transform your relationships so you can stay juicy. To learn more about me or to listen to past shows, visit my website at unadrake.com.